Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
That was one of the most entertaining football games I've seen in a long time. Last night, the Monday Night Football game. And there have been a few good games. The Chiefs games was good. The Green Bay Packers game was not. The Bears game was kind of intriguing for a half. But I will say this, after the Bears game the other day, I thought, hey, I don't see, I like, God bless Justin Fields, but this other guy, Andy Dalton, seemed to be a competent quarterback to me. I don't think there was anything on fire there. Then I watched last night's game and I went, oh, that's what a good NFL quarterback looks like. Like, ours wasn't terrible, but you can just see the upgrade when some of these other teams are on the field. And that was really a thrilling game last night, for what it's worth. And then I was thinking about the text message that Sam Panionovich sent me, who used to do sports on this radio station. Then he went to Boston, and he does, what's the name of the thing you do out there in Boston, Sam?
Oh, I could go many ways with this answer. I analyzed the betting markets. I thought Andy Dalton was so bad, I flew to Chicago to talk about it.
We used to talk to you last year, last season, when you were giving us the line on games and wagering and stuff. We're not doing that right now.
We'll figure something out. I can tell you the Chicago Bears were a 7-8 point underdog on Sunday night, and they got embarrassed on national television. They did not cover the spread. It was never really all that close. 34-14. What do you think the total was?
34-14? What do you mean the total?
The over-under for points.
Oh, 34-14, so you're at 41 there.
Well, that's 48, buddy.
34-14. I would say it was, nobody thought the Bears were going to score that much against that defense, so I think they had Bears for 10, and I think it was about that.
It was 47.5.
Yeah.
It landed on 48.
Yeah. These guys know what they're doing, don't they?
And the last touchdown came in the final 3 minutes of the fourth quarter or something like that.
But Sam, so what do you do for a living now?
I analyze the betting markets. I mean, if you watch, you know, CNBC or you follow Bloomberg and people are talking about stocks, I essentially look at players and teams like stocks right now.
But you do this where?
I do it at the New England Sports Network, NESN.
So you are the Fox Sports of New England.
I will take that, yes.
I mean, nice. I'm just trying to put it sort of an address on it for our listeners.
So NESN is the largest regional television company in the country. It has six states. It's Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Connecticut, Massachusetts, Rhode Island.
You can't bet on sports in Massachusetts, right?
Not yet. We're getting squeezed. All the states around us can bet. So Governor Charlie Baker has been complaining. People leave Massachusetts. They drive to New Hampshire to the north. They go down to Rhode Island to the south. And pretty soon, in October, they're launching in Connecticut to the southwest. So people just leave and will continue to leave until they figure something out.
Well, so I didn't. Am I the only person that thought they saw some promise in the Bears games? But for the look at the first series, look at some of the running game, look at those returns. But for a deflected pass and just stupidity in the red zone, that's a more interesting ball game. No? No?
They score a touchdown if Field stays on the field. I'm very adamant about that because he was doing the thing where they get the good return. David Montgomery has the big run, and then he brings Fields in, who throws a tight spiral.
Yeah,
then it's
nice
first
ball.
And goal, I believe, and then Andy Dalton's in there, and you know he's Andy Dalton. I don't know why we need to see any more Andy Dalton. I know the Rams have a good defensive line, and Aaron Donald's a great player and all that, but come on. Come on! I live in a town. New England just cut Cam Newton to move on to Mac Jones. You see what Trevor Lawrence did in Jacksonville, threw three touchdowns. You see what young Joe Burrow did in Cincinnati. They win that game against Minnesota. This is a young quarterback league with guys that can throw the football and make plays, and Andy Dalton does none of those things.
Ed Obradovich and Dan Hampton were talking about his potential to be a Mahomes-type quarterback with his skill set. I hadn't heard that comparison made yet, what with him only having been on the field for a few plays, but do you think that's the upside for Fields?
He's bigger than Mahomes. You know, Fields is 6'3", 230, 235. He's got a rocket arm. The guys in college, the defenders bounced off him. So when he would make a man miss, get to the second level, you know, these big linebackers who are supposed to tackle and cream the quarterback are bouncing off Justin Fields. So it's a matter of time. He'll be out there. I think the goal is, and trying to figure out what the goal is at Hallis Hall is a nightmare, but I think the goal is to put him in a situation where he can come out and win the game. He wasn't going to beat Los Angeles. I think they want to bring him in and put him in a situation. Maybe it's, I don't know. I don't know when this is on the schedule. Maybe week three, week four, you bring him in. You know, when they're home against the Lions on October 3rd, probably win that game with Fields.
Maybe this doesn't matter that much then because it's already set that Dalton's not going to be your quarterback. But Steve Bertrand was asking Dan Hampton yesterday about that, and Hamp was making the point that when you put Dalton out there and he knows he's just the warm-up act, that if you're always looking over your shoulder like, did I make a mistake or did I not make a good enough play, you're going to force the ball into situations where you shouldn't. You're just not going to be as good a quarterback as you can be if you know the whole staff is doubting you and they're waiting for you to fail. And Hamp said that's just a bad mindset to put your QB in.
Here's the real conundrum, and this is something that doesn't really get discussed, and I have no issue saying this because I don't have to cover the Bears anymore. The selection of Justin Fields was sort of, it's like a magician, right? Like David Copperfield. You all look over here, and I'm going to do something over there. The team is so bad that the drafting or the selection of Justin Fields sort of, it takes the attention away from how bad the roster is. Does that make sense? The offensive line sucks. They're already hobbled. They signed a 37, 38-year-old left tackle who was fishing in the offseason, and he already got hurt because he's out of shape. The offensive line is bad. The defense is aging and getting older, and the head coach is outmatched. So, yes, Justin Fields is promising. He could be a very good quarterback in this league, but it's sort of like lipstick on a pig because the team isn't good.
How many games are the Bears supposed to win this year?
Over-under was 7.5.
And do you think they'll hit that? Really? By the way, we are tied for first place in the division.
That's the only silver lining that Aaron Rodgers didn't really play in training camp. You know, talk about a team that didn't look in sync. That's what happens when your star quarterback doesn't play a single snap of practice, pretty much.
Is that because of injuries or just because of his own issues about the team management?
Well, he didn't play in the preseason, and he held out until the end of July. So repetitions were not plentiful for Aaron Rodgers.
I know, but you wonder if he even needs them. He's Aaron Rodgers, for crying out loud. But maybe teams need to get more in sync, play more.
I had a bookmaker tell me this yesterday, and bookmakers are not hyperbolic at all. They are about the dollars and the cents, and they are about being realistic. One bookmaker in Vegas said this is the worst division in football.
Well, it kind of looked like that this weekend. They all lost. Do you like your White Sox right now?
I'm excited, man.
I know. And isn't it funny that they seemed as injury riddled as they are? I mean, to the point, this is like, you know, when everything could go wrong for the Cubs, they sometimes would, including a black cat walking onto the field or crazy stuff, right? Mm-hmm. But when you're... when one of your star players is injured, and then he comes back, and like you just sit him on the bench, and so you say, right there, and when we point to you, you go up and hit the ball, and then a line drive hits him in the knee. I mean, that's the White Sox this year, and yet they're exciting, and they're going to be in the playoffs, man.
I follow them as much as I can. As you know, my life is consumed by football now. It's football, 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 football all the time. I almost cried, though, when I found out that Eloy Jimenez got hurt in the dugout somehow. Like, this is a guy, I don't know if you've seen the movie Little Giants, when they put the kid in, like, the Michelin Man bubble wrap. Please, just stay on the field.
Yeah. And you know what? Give up an out. Don't even slide into home plate. I mean, better they tag you out. Let's just keep our eye on the prize.
I don't want him on the... I don't even want him playing the outfield anymore. I want him to bat 3-4 times and sit down. That's all I want. But hey, this is why you brought in Tony La Russa, to win in the playoffs. And there was a lot of talk about why did Ricky get canned and is Tony the right guy at his age? This is the time to prove it. He's here because this team needs a win in October, and he's been one of the most successful postseason managers in the history of the game.
So I got to let you go, Sam, but today, how far do the White Sox go?
I think they're playing for a pennant. I think they'll make it to the ALCS. I can't sit here and tell you that I know they're going to win the World Series. I think they're one of the best four teams in baseball, and they should be in the ALCS. From there, anything can happen, but they're good enough, and their pitching is solid enough.
Sam Panionovich talks about sports and wagering and sometimes sports wagering, we used to say on Thursdays. Hopefully we get that gig back with you regularly here. But in the meantime, welcome back to the Windy City, man.
Thank you, sir. I love that shirt, the Nick Offerman 4th of July shirt. It's incredible.
It's by a company called the Roosevelts. And if you Google that, they're the most colorful. This is a very nice shirt. And it's a montage on a dark blue background of Nick Offerman things.
Bacon. I see brats, bacon. I see American flag.
Wood that needs to be chopped.
Whiskey.
Now, you can also get this with the Teddy Roosevelt motif. So it's Teddy Roosevelt, and it's Mount Rushmore, and it's San Juan Hill, and horse riding, and stuff like that. So I don't know if there's a Sam Panionovich one in the offing out there.
I doubt it.
There'd be chips, dollar bill signs, athletes.
Calculators.
Good to see you, Sam.
Good to see you always.
It's 10:45 on WGN. By the way, just a quick note about you and me. Remember Doma T. Pongo, who used to do news? You and I did Saturday mornings here. I did the hosting. You did the sports. Joe Brand did as well. It's been a nice lineup on Saturdays, and mm-hmm. It still is. But when I hosted Saturdays, it was you doing sports, me, and Doma T. Pongo was doing news for us. Doma T. left, of course, went out east like you did. He is at MTV, and he does a lot of online stuff for them. Last night, he was on the red carpet just interviewing the who's who of people coming by.
I need his tailor.
I'm like,
oh, I need his tailor.
He looks good, but I'm like, boy, that was not that was a nice little lineup, and it's been a pleasure to see where the two of you went.
You need to come visit now.